For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you could also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. I am not a big fan of when pastors complain about how hard they work, because everybody works hard. Pastors do have a job, a calling that is particularly difficult in some areas. They have to be truth speakers all the time. They cannot hide that. They must constantly be speaking God's word to people, and sometimes that is very, very difficult. But everybody works hard. However, with that said, the global pandemic has been difficult for pastors, because pastors, by the very nature of the things they are called to do by God, need at times to be face to face with their people. And that's difficult to do, maybe sometimes even impossible. What do you do when a parishioner is dying and you can't go see them, but you've been called to go see them? And think about it this way. We talk a lot about essential workers, and aside from the politics and the legal aspects of that, there is an essential, a truly essential work that pastors do, whether it's a pandemic or not. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about caring for your pastor during a pandemic. Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran, and a column for the November issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, Are You Doing Okay, Pastor? Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you again.
What have you been hearing from pastors during the last 8 months of this pandemic?
Well, we've heard a lot, and we know specifically that pastors are, many of them, very tired at this point of all the pandemic stuff, as everybody is. The great difficulties in ministering to people, especially in death and dying situations. It's been very difficult to do multiple services, to keep people united. There are divisions over masks and non-masks in congregations, and just a lot of challenges, but also encouragement and optimism and delight at being able to get the word out in surprising ways.
What are some of the encouraging things you've been hearing?
Pastors have been able to do a lot of online services, which are certainly not ideal, and they bring all kinds of challenges. You know, will people continue to want that kind of service and not go to church anymore? There's that kind of worry. But also, it gives churches an opportunity to get in front of people, and we know there are many people, even non-church people, who are searching for religious services and input during this time. So it gives a church a chance to be on and share the gospel with people also all around the world and in their community.
Talk about a list of problems. Some of these are temporary problems. We know they'll go away when COVID finally goes away. And some of them we fear might be permanent problems that congregations and pastors, especially congregations with schools, are facing.
Well, there are challenges of finances. We did a survey about 4 months into this, and it showed that about 25% of Missouri Synod congregations had actually increased in their giving and support. But in the long haul, folks are being affected negatively over support. Schools have been especially challenged by regulations where they've had to offer in-person and online services, and they're also, teachers and schools are fatigued by a lot of government restrictions, local restrictions they have to follow. Although the good thing is that a number of schools are reporting, and this is fairly general, schools are reporting an increase in attendance because public schools were shut down altogether. So that's been an opportunity. There's visitation issues. Pastors can't get to their people or only with great difficulty. So there's a lot of challenges.
Why does a pastor's calling, in many, many cases, require him to deal with those under his care face to face?
Well, this is a kind of an incarnational question. You know, Jesus took on flesh, human flesh, and Jesus took on a human voice, a human touch. He is the great pastor, the great shepherd of the sheep. And we see him in his ministry where he goes. He uses his feet and legs to go. He visits. He goes to people in need. He finds people in need. He preaches the gospel with his own lips. He tells them the gospel. He shares stories that elucidate the word of God. He speaks forgiveness. He encourages. He speaks a word of law when necessary. He touches people with his hands. He touches the sick. He gives us sacraments that are very tactile. You know, he himself goes into baptism and comes out of the water, and the Holy Spirit appears as a dove and alights upon him. He gives us the Lord's Supper in a very direct and personal fashion. You know, he distributes the elements of body and blood with his own hands and says, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body. This is my blood. So the religion of Christianity is not only very incarnational, it's not a religion of symbols, finally. The use of symbols in church or in churchly functions or liturgical acts, those symbols always point to the fact of the presence, the genuine presence of God in Christ. And so he gives us the same very tactile ministry. And he directs his apostles to go and do likewise, so that ministers of the church go in person. They go to bedsides of people who are dying. They speak a word that comes from lips and really does what it says. It forgives. They touch people when they bless them. They touch the elements of bread and wine, blessed to be body and blood of Christ, and they place those in the hands and mouths of the people. They raise their hands and bless them at the end of the service. Christianity is very tactile. Now, at the same time, this word can be delivered in various forms, as you, as a media expert, know full well. But nevertheless, the Lord has given us a very personal, incarnational, tactile religion.
This is not the first time that churches and pastors have faced problems, even problems of deadly pandemics. What can we learn from previous generation of Christians and how they faced these things?
Well, there are many examples. You know, you have the plagues at the time of Luther. 1527 was a famous time of plague in Wittenberg. It's believed that Luther's A Mighty Fortress hymn was written at that time. And Luther was dealing with the same kind of issues we deal with. How does each individual decide what he or she is going to do in that plague? Should one flee the plague for safety reasons? Should one stay and help one's neighbor? We have all kinds of different decisions being made by individuals now. One very challenging one in many of our congregations is the masked people against the unmasked people. We have some people saying, I will not attend unless everybody is masked. And you got other people refusing to wear masks and as kind of a matter of principle. These finally are issues of conscience, and people will make their decisions the best they can. And Luther remarkably allows for those kind of conscious decisions to be made and recognize that people with different vocations and different circumstances will come down differently. There are many cases, you know, the Soviet period, 70 years, when Lutheran pastors were murdered and Christian pastors were simply murdered in the Soviet Union by the hundreds and thousands. Especially German Luther people displaced, and lay people having to get along without pastors, clear up to the end of the Iron Wall. So these issues have come around and gone. The 1918 cold flu epidemic in the United States was a similar situation, where congregations in St. Louis, for instance, forego worship on a regular basis for a time, and are encouraged by the church leaders to have home devotions and read their Bibles at home. So we'll continue to have these things as long as the world exists.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about caring for your pastor during a pandemic. How does God use the circumstances of even a pandemic to turn us back to Him in repentance and faith? For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you could also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we are going to continue our trek through St. Matthew with I Will Build My Church, Get Behind Me, Satan, Take Up Your Cross, The Transfiguration, and What's with Christ and Elijah. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. That's what you get 10 hours each week from Issues Etc. Please help us finish the fiscal year in the black by making a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. For a year-end gift of $250 or more, we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a new recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure financial contribution online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping Issues Etc. in mind at the end of 2020. We're talking about caring for your pastor during a pandemic. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? And a column for the November issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, Are You Doing Okay, Pastor? Matt, how does God use even the circumstances of a pandemic to turn us back to Him in repentance and faith?
Huh. Well, there is a heaviness of law and fatigue upon us. It always seems like when we're in these situations, which is, for us, this has been the great inconvenience, although there have been tragic deaths. I note a classmate of mine, Michael Walther, pastor in Minnesota, passed away. By the way, the direct descendant of CFW is Walther's brother, who was the first pastor at Old Trinity in St. Louis. So death and illness and fear and the law always amount to the same thing. The law always accuses and drives us to Jesus Christ, to whom we seek consolation. For most of us, this time has been the great inconvenience. Others have been struck more significantly. But as we're driven to Christ, we hold on to His consolations and promises. All you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And Paul says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from above, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. How we fail to do that, the law brings us up short, accuses us, and we have a Savior who forgives sinners, only sinners, dwells only in sinners, picks us up and says, now, let's try it again, shall we?
What can parishioners do for their pastor when he is facing the unique challenges of his calling and his responsibility and joy to carry out that calling during a pandemic?
They can do quite a lot. I have heard quite a number of pastors talk about the challenges of discontent parishioners wanting the church to do something only one way, only this way or that way for some hygienic practice. That really burdens a pastor's heart. You may make your decisions on the basis of your personal circumstances, your health, etc., and God bless you for making those decisions. But don't try to force your pastor and everybody else to go exactly the same route. Pastors especially are very burdened because they know there's a tactile profession. They visit people. They have not only parishioners, but dear friends who have died and are dying. And in many cases, hitherto, they have not been even able to be present at the bedside when their parishioners and even dear, long-standing friends have passed into eternity. And they feel guilty about this, because they know that's exactly what they're called to do. So love your pastor. Take care of him. He's not some kind of cruise ship director. He's there to deliver the means of grace and the encouragement of Christ. Even if you maybe don't like his personality or something, his personality is not the big thing. The big thing is he's there to speak the word of Christ. Care for him every way you can, and for his family. Encourage him. Give him support. Find a gift for him. Tell him you appreciate his service tremendously. Encourage him when he's down. Give him the keys to your lake place when this clears up, and tell him and his family to go enjoy themselves for a while. Give him a little respite. Buy him a CPH gift card for books. Ask him what he would need for the conduct of his ministry. Gather around him as board of elders. Pray for him daily. Encourage him. Love him and his family. It's never been a more important time to do that.
Finally, Matt, with about 30 seconds, there have been a lot of talk about essential workers. And apart from political or legal considerations, how would you describe the essential work that our pastors are doing for us here during the pandemic and in every other time?
The essential work of the pastor is the delivery of the forgiveness of sins. The great heresy of our time is that, and really this has in many ways been the great heresy of all times, and that is the desire to separate the physical from the spiritual. And, we see it in our crazy era, like you could separate the being of a person from his or her actual body, and you could somehow be another sex. Or I saw a crazy story the other day where a guy got a Nobel Award and dressed up like a goat with a front legs which were supposed to represent goat legs, and in the Alps went around for a week eating grass trying to realize what it was like to be a goat. Well, that's just ridiculous. God has put us and goats into the bodies that we have, and he's given us our being as physical beings. And what happens in the church is people often forget that this physicality and the spirit go together. Bread and wine are body and blood at the same time. A pastor, in a different way, but very physically, with a speaking voice like Jesus, delivers the forgiveness of sins. He baptizes for the forgiveness of sins. He absolves people for the forgiveness of sins. And that is the heart and soul of the Christian faith. It is the gospel. Yes, it can be borne along on airwaves, thank God, and it can be read, thank God, but it's also delivered personally. And that is the great blessing of a pastor.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? And a column for the November issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, Are You Doing Okay, Pastor? The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. Learn more at witness.lcms.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Thanksgiving, the word in the Bible, with Pastor Will Wheaton, and we'll look forward to a day of Thanksgiving with Pastor David Peterson. Then on Thursday, we'll begin a series, The Old Testament in a Church Year, talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about creation and the fall. Then Friday, we'll have Dr. Alvin Schmidt respond to the argument that Christianity has been bad for non-Christians. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you in the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.